In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it is wholly appropriate that on this Sunday after Pentecost, we would commemorate all of the saints who have shown forth from all time, and also read this reading, because it is the application of what has preceded us. What has preceded us? Pentecost, before that, the Ascension, before that, the Resurrection, before that, the Nativity. The Lord was born, became man, so that He would show us the way and make us capable of living the way. So He lived on the earth 33 years. 3 of those years He taught publicly. He showed us how to live. He gave us an example how to live. He showed us the right way to be so that He could say, follow Me. Because everything He did was perfect. And we cannot claim that He's requiring something of us that He didn't do Himself. Because He did everything. So when He says, follow Me, all we need do is look at His life and emulate His life and follow. But if it is only that the Lord says, follow Me, and gives an example, then we are still not able to solve our problem. Because we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be resurrected. So the Lord went through this whole time of a life, then went to His passion, died, was buried, and resurrected of His own authority, of His own ability, taught His disciples during that period of time when He was still on the earth for 40 days, ascended into heaven, showing that we bodily will also be able to be with Him, that our flesh will be able to do the things His flesh does, because His flesh is no different than ours, with the exception that He never sinned. So you see what purity will do to flesh. It makes it divine and holy. And then the Holy Spirit was sent. And that is what we celebrated last week. And with the Holy Spirit we are completely empowered. It is completed, the task that Jesus had to do. We are now completely able to be Christian, to be good in all things. But you would say to me, well, Father Seraphim, if that's the case, then why am I still sinning? Why is there so much strife in the world? Why are things so hard? Well, it is because of our sinfulness, do not completely dedicate ourselves to the task. You know, my patron, he became so holy that when he prayed, he could be out in the woods and it would be freezing and he would be warm and there would be a glow of the uncreated light around him. Saint Mary of Egypt, when she prayed, was in the air. Such things are possible, but only if we truly struggle. Now, here in this gospel, it is speaking of the application now of everything we've been taught, of everything we've been made able to do. You know, when you go to school, not too much is expected of you yet. You go to school to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer. They don't expect you to build bridges that will not break when you're only a freshman in engineering school, or to operate on people when you're a doctor in the first year of medical school. But then when you're given this education and people put their time and effort and knowledge into you, training you, there comes a time when you are expected to perform. It is the same way in the Christian life. The Lord came, did all these things. Now we are expected to respond to Him. And so here is what He says should be our response. He says, whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men, him will I confess before My Father which is in heaven. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after Me is not worthy of Me. So if you put that in a positive way, take up your cross and follow Me and you will be worthy of Me. Now, this begs the question, what is it to confess the Lord? And what is it to take up the cross? Sounds pretty important, because he says he will confess us if we confess him. And also, we are worthy of him if we take up the cross, and unworthy of him if we don't. So this is critically, this is absolutely important to our life or death, how we think of these things. So what is it to confess the Lord? What is it to take up the cross? How does one answer this question? This is the way you answer this question. And any question about virtue, any question about how to live, any question about the purpose of life, any question about holiness and goodness and virtue, the answer is Jesus Christ. How he lived, why he lived, how he obeyed his Father, how he told us how to live, how he gave his examples, how he backed up those examples with his works, so that when he says, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and light, he can speak with authority. When he says, follow me, he speaks with authority. Following him, in one case, only in one case, only in a short period of time in our history, meant actually walking with him as he went from place to place. Now following him means live as he lived. Be as he is. That is what it means to confess the Lord. That is what it means to take up the cross. He took up the cross, so must we. Now just as we and he are different people, all of us are different. All of us have different life circumstances. Our walking and following him does not manifest itself identically in each person as far as the details and the life circumstances. But the basic idea, to do as Christ did, to emulate him, to be holy, is the same. And we are empowered to do such because of what has preceded, the resurrection, the ascension, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Christianity is about following Christ. I've told people many times before, this is very important. All dogma is moral. To believe in Jesus Christ is to believe in a moral way of life. To love one's neighbor, that's what he did. To turn the other cheek, he certainly did that. To love one's enemies. I have to tell you, yesterday I went to a divine liturgy. I was invited to divine liturgy at the annual conference of the Antiochian Archdiocese, the Antiochian Diocese of the Midwest. And Bishop Basil served, and 50 other priests, and I was a guest. And the sermon was given, I believe, by his dean in his cathedrals in Wichita. I was amazed. I thought how powerful his words were. He was speaking of what is the indisputable proof that a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. And he went on to say, well, you know, some people think it's speaking in some sort of ecstatic language. People have other opinions about it. Some people think it means if you're wealthy. Truly, there are people who really believe that. That if you're not blessed by God with wealth, then that must mean that something's wrong with you. But he said, and it's true, the indisputable proof that a man is filled with the Holy Spirit is that he loves his enemies. It's easy to love your friends. It might be even easy to love those who you don't particularly like. You're kind of neutral, just acquaintances. But to love your enemies, that is the sign that a man is filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's not easy. Now, it's commanded, it's required, but it's not easy. And this is what confessing him is. To love your enemies as he loved his enemies. to give of yourself to others even when they won't give anything back. To not judge others. The Lord said He didn't come to judge. The judging will occur in due time. He came to show the way. This is the sign of a Christian. This is the sign of confessing Christ. So the question of what does it mean to confess Christ, or what is the sign that as man is filled with the Holy Spirit? It is the same question. It is the same question as what must I do to be saved? It is the same question as what is the purpose of my life? They are all the same question and they all have the same answer. To live is Jesus Christ. To follow Him. This is our task. We've been enabled to do it. Now, let's do it. He goes on to give comparisons. He who loveth father or daughter or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You can't love anything or anyone more than Christ. Most especially yourself and your own desires and your own selfishness and your own priorities. The Lord didn't love His own priorities more than His Father's. He came to do His Father's will. And He did it willingly. He submitted Himself to His Father. He didn't have to. He's completely equal to His Father. Remember, He stated, I and my Father are one. And yet He submitted Himself to His Father. Perhaps we cannot really understand that. But we can certainly understand when we read in the Gospel of His sacrifice, of His love for everyone, of His always following the way of holiness. And if we are going to confess Him, this is what we must do. That is confession of Christ. Now, some people perhaps think of confession of Christ as being willing to show that you're a Christian, as someone says, challenges you. And there's only a very small part of it. You show you're a Christian by the way you live. Everyone around you should know that you're a different person than most people. Because your priorities are different. Your way of speaking is different. Your conduct is different. Your priorities, your way of life is different. And if people don't see that, then you are not fully confessing Christ. So if you wonder how to live today, tomorrow, the next day, here's your answer. Jesus Christ. This is the Alpha and the Omega of everything. And if we do not confess Him, if we do not follow our cross, take up our cross as He took up His, then we are not worthy of Him. May it be that we will take up our cross. And we will confess Him, not just with our lips, but with our mind, with our feet, with our hands, with our bodies, with our actions, with our priorities, with our way of life. And then we will inherit eternal blessedness. Amen.